Hello and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly podcast, where we discuss leadership and management issues which have made the news in recent days. This week, we're focusing on events up to the 28th of February 2019. My name's Nick Scott, I'm an economist and academic working with the Institute of Leadership and Management, and I'm joined today by the Institute's Head of Research, Policy and Standards, Kate Cooper. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Nick.
Our first story, drawn from the Guardian website but reported elsewhere, focuses on the toxic work culture that has existed at Amnesty International's London-based secretariat. A report from well-being consultants Conterra uses terms such as adversarial, lack of trust, and bullying to describe the workplace culture, along with a martyrdom culture that had become a recipe for overload and burnout. Now, many people would be surprised that an organization known for its principled positions on so many external matters would face so many internal issues. Where do you think it may have gone wrong?
It's a case here, I think, of do the means justify the ends, or do in fact we forget about the importance of the journey because we're so keen on getting to the destination. And you can understand why the people who work at Amnesty have such a strong sense of purpose, such a drive to do the right thing, to right wrongs, that perhaps the feelings and what might seem like detailed concerns of the workforce are considered to be so unimportant in the context of the bigger picture. But for so many of us, our daily interactions at work contribute so much to how we feel, to our own sense of purpose, that they can't be overlooked. And if they are collectively overlooked, as seems to have happened here at Amnesty, then the fallout is particularly upsetting because it seems to jar so much with what Amnesty is about. We can challenge perhaps the wisdom of righting wrongs across the globe if we can't get them right in our own offices.
Ahead of next month's spring financial statement, the Federation of Small Businesses have launched a new campaign which highlights the dominant late payment culture that exists, notably between larger companies and their smaller suppliers. Fair Pay, Fair Play calls for three specific steps to address the power differential between smaller businesses and their larger customers. Firstly, strengthen payment enforcement powers of the Small Business Commissioner. Secondly, ensure that any procurement operations use project bank accounts to ease prompt payment. And thirdly, that larger firms should nominate specific non-exec directors to accept responsibility for avoiding their late payments via a supply chain or audit committee. So, Kate, do you think these specific steps can have a positive impact?
I think this is another example of what might seem a detail to somebody, the large company in this case, is absolutely of vital importance to the small company. And we've known for so long that large companies are careless in the way they don't meet payment deadlines, they keep their small suppliers waiting, and the power dynamic is such there's little that the small supplier can do. They certainly can't take their supplies elsewhere. So these steps that are being recommended seem to be a voice for the small business, a voice for helping them with managing cash flow, and also recognising, should the large company get into difficulty, the impact on the small company can be absolutely disproportionate.
FSB Chair Mike Cherry points out, for far too long, some big businesses have been allowed to get away with poor behaviour that has seen them use their dominant position to bully and squeeze our smaller firms. Why do we find ourselves in a situation where some think it's acceptable and fair not to pay our small business on time? The truth is that it isn't fair. Everybody deserves to be paid on time. So, Kate, how can larger firms continue this practice while claiming that they are an ethical business?
I think We're going back into the probably the last century, where there was a sort of macho behaviour that you could treat your small suppliers like this, and there was something clever about it, that you only paid on final demand, etc., etc. But the more we recognise corporate social responsibility as extending to all our stakeholders, the more we realise that these behaviours are just not ethical. We have to safeguard the whole of our supply chain in order to secure those supplies, but to be able to be auditable and to be able to stand up and say, yes, we are a company that is ethical, we act with integrity, and that goes for every stakeholder.
Well, our final story this week challenges the behaviour of some high-profile leaders in promoting their own personal agenda via social media. Again, in The Guardian, New York brand strategist Awa Madawi took exception to Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey's recent tweet where he promoted extreme fasting. Dorsey noted how time slows down and the day feels so much longer when uninterrupted by mealtimes. Jezebel columnist Maria Sherman condemned Silicon Valley's interest in so-called biohacking, a practice where individuals experiment with various dietary fads ranging from fasting to supplements to injections and special implants, all with the aim of becoming a more effective workplace performer. So, are these tech specialists onto something, or is there perhaps something a bit sinister about this behaviour?
There's certainly something sinister about encouraging people to adopt extreme eating or fasting regimes because you want them to be more productive. I think the question I'd have for people like Jack Dorsey is, where is the evidence? Where is the knowledge that they're basing these decisions on? Is it purely anecdotal? Or would they run their businesses on the basis of what one person says or what one person thinks? Or would they look for much greater intelligence? We cannot underestimate the influence of role models and new people joining the workforce, very impressionable. Look at these people as idols, people they aspire to be like, and they might be inappropriately influenced. And actually, when we think about well-being at work and the important and increasing recognition of the importance of nutrition, it seems careless at best that people like Jack Dorsey are adopting these extreme approaches to their own nutrition management and almost forgetting how influential they might be and how other people might adopt these somewhat extreme practices, and it have a very detrimental effect on their health.
So let's close today with a brief update on what's been happening around the Institute.
Well, most recently we've been in Belfast, where 120 people joined us for a conference at Belfast Metropolitan College. We were looking at the future, particularly, of course, the impact of new technology on leadership and organisations. We heard from Ronan Leonard, who's a podcaster and technology journalist, who gave us some great insights into what he sees as the key technologies. Joe Keeler from the Belbin organisation talked about the importance of teams that work and having a team strategy. And Kieran McCrory of Microsoft captivated everybody, as you'd imagine, with a really excellent presentation that was truly multimedia. We asked everybody there how they felt that their organisations and their teams and themselves as individuals were responding to the challenges of the future, and we're going to be publishing something about that very shortly. We're also getting ready for International Women's Day on the 6th of March. We've got a gender pay gap webinar with Ursula Tavinder and an interview with me and Yasmin Sheikh. Please do remember to put these webinars in your diaries. We've still got a few places left at our conference in Leeds, where again we'll be hearing from Joe Keeler about the importance of teams, but we'll get new and interesting insights from Tina Howell of Everything Cloud and Steve Wells, Global Futurist. So if you are around in Leeds, 12th of May in the afternoon, please come along to the Northern Ballet. Make sure you register first, so we'll expect you, and I really hope to meet many of you then.
Oh, thanks very much for that, Kate. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for this week. do please go to the website www.institutelm.com to find out more about the Institute of Leadership and Management. You can subscribe to this podcast series and check up on our previous webinars, including the recent webinar from Dr. Mike Clayton on harnessing the power of listening to improve your leadership capability. We'll be back next week.